listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We want to thank Ben Lucero and Indigo Mortgage for supporting the ministry of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700 or on the web at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect. And I have Team Hope Christian in studio with me, Terry Heise, Connie Higgs, and Linda Brazier. Thank you all for joining us today.
Absolutely.
Well, I got to find all about what's going on with the Hope Huskies. Terry, let's go right to you. How long has Hope's been part of your life? For a really long time, hasn't it?
Yeah, I've been there quite a while. So I actually went to school there, graduated in 1985. And then I went and got
And by the way, I did broadcast your state high school basketball championship.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Which makes me a lot older than you.
Well, you gave us a good luck charm, I guess. But you are probably a little older than me.
You had a great career there, but you've invested. You went to college and you came back to Hope, and you've worked as a teacher, you've worked
right
as a principal, coach.
Yeah, so yeah, in 91 I came back and decided that I wanted to work at Hope and coach girls basketball for a little while. And ended up principaling for a few years after that, and now doing the head of school. I think this is the fourth or fifth year for that. So it's been a great run, and just really, really. Hope was when I went to Hope, I went to, you know, the public schools earlier in my career in middle school, but I was just really, it was such a blessing to be able to attend Hope in high school.
Yeah, amen. You have three schools now.
We do. We have a high school, middle school, and an elementary school as well. So we're pre-K 3 all the way through 12th grade.
What's the mission?
The mission? Well, our mission statement is to pray for, equip, and send Christ-centered, passionate leaders to change the world. And we want to offer that opportunity to be able to just share the word of God with as many kids as we possibly can.
And I know some graduates of Hope that are police officers.
Yeah.
One of those is your son.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Among several, actually.
Yeah, we actually have a recognition board for all of our law enforcement and military and first responders. And my son is an APD officer, yes, sir.
Yeah, and we need to obviously pray for him. Introduce the two ladies that you've brought with us.
Yeah, so we have our two guests here today, our Miss Connie Higgs. She's our a middle school principal. And Connie, you have been there doing that for how long now?
I started in the middle school in 2010.
Yeah, and also we have Linda Brazier, and she's our high school principal, and she's in her second year as high school principal, but she's been at Hope for longer than that.
Yeah. You came on board, Linda,
yes,
during the COVID year.
I did.
Wow, what a choice that was. Talk to us about what you've learned about having in-person learning, because you were one of the few schools in the state of New Mexico that stayed open and got it all done. What have you learned about keeping students and teachers and parents safe during all of this?
What I learned is it takes a team to make it happen. So, you know, our maintenance department, cleaning crews, making sure everything's sanitized and ready to go for the students was a big part of that. Having school nurses, we have two school nurses on staff. And, you know, they kept educating the staff and the students and their families about COVID-safe practices, you know, emphasizing wearing masks to assist with that. And they were kind of the backbone of keeping our school open and running.
Terry, I'm going to go back to you, and this isn't on our little list, but I'm wondering if you would share with us. I know that you had to provide a lot of leadership keeping the school open, even during all of the stuff that was going on. Initially, the governor closed everybody off.
Right.
But the following semester, the fall of 2020, you were open and going, and you've been open since. Were there discussions among you and the board and your leadership with your principals and things where it's like, okay, should we close down? Should we do this? Should we do that? I mean, what was that dynamic like?
Yeah, absolutely. As Linda said, it took a team for sure. And the summer of 2020 was a lot of meetings, a lot of late night meetings, more board meetings than we normally have. But in the end, the board and our leadership team decided that the most important thing is that we provide in-person learning. And that's what our community wanted as well. because I think we've even found over the past year that in-person learning is the best thing for the students. And, you know, we opened and we were confident that God was going to bless our school and he was going to be glorified through our opening. And we were able to manage the COVID and the mandates. And we kind of played Gumby for a while. Actually, all year we played Gumby. And I think the word for the year was probably pivot. And we did that many, many times. That's an old basketball term, of course. But the team put together, and we all had the same unified mission, that was the most important thing, that we provide in-person learning. Of course, we had a few hiccups here and there, and some kids had to quarantine, and we had to do virtual for a few people here and there. But we managed to make it through.
And you had to develop or employ or deploy some technologies, didn't you? And is that actually helping the school now? Is that kind of a silver lining to COVID, Linda?
Yes, it is. So we were able to install cameras in each one of our classrooms, as well as Promethean boards, which are our main technology tool that we're still using in classrooms today. So we're drawing in a lot more use of Chromebooks, videos, and external information sources through the use of both the Promethean boards and the Chromebooks.
For parents that might be considering sending their children to a Hope Christian School instead of a public school, now I must let our listeners know, and maybe they know this already, I have five children. All five were lifers at Hope, and all of them are doing great in college, the college preparation. So maybe I'm a commercial for Hope, but my kids had a great experience. Thank you, Lord, that it was all prior to COVID. And I'm so amazed at how, I know there were hiccups. There's always hiccups. There's hiccups when there's no COVID. You know, there's just stuff that you have to deal with. But you've developed a community, Terry. Congratulations to you and to you both, Linda and Connie, for just getting the community to just be together. You know, we're not always going to agree on everything, but you're going to, you know, talk about things and pray about things. That's another dynamic that we didn't really talk about. I understand the conversations, but you guys do spend a lot of time praying and thinking about what God wants. So I'm going to go right to Connie now and ask you about, how is a Christ-centered school different from a public school?
You know, I'm totally blessed that this is my 27th year in Christian education. So my only experience as far as a public school is concerned are, you know, friends that I have or others that I have in public school. But what I can say the most is when I talk to my students or when I talk to my parents, to be able to pray with them beforehand and to discipline or discuss through biblical principles, to me, is one of the most important things that I could ever do to show the kiddos Christ in how we should act.
Well, you said something interesting to us, to me, before the show started. You were talking about you have people that teach classes on abstinence. Well, that's a message that you're never going to get in a public school, is it?
I don't think so. We do have abstinence classes. We take 1 week a year during PE time, and the kiddos are taught. So You're About to Be a Teenager by Dennis and Barbara Rainey, which is Christian. And then we have books that we use. It's Marriage and Abstinence that Scott Phelps developed, who is a pastor, a Christian, and so we use his books for our 7th and 8th graders. And so it's not as much abstinence. We don't talk about that as much as we talk about the students seeing themselves in Christ and seeing themselves the way Christ sees them and how, you know, they should treat themselves and want others to treat them as well.
I'm amazed today, thinking about my kids and dating. And my children went to school with Terry's children. His children were all kind of close in age. And he has a boy and three girls, and I have – oh, you have two girls. I'm sorry. Okay. I added one.
Yeah, that's okay.
Maybe you got a granddaughter.
Don't do that
on
to
the
me.
Way. I'm teasing you. And, you know, I have three girls and two boys, and I'm amazed today at the way they dated. And they dated in groups. I didn't even have to ask them. Mm-hmm. I can't remember a time where the kids went out with just, like my son went out with just a girl. There were always, you know, people around and different things. And so without even really trying to set it up, there was some accountability, and there were ways that they, you built in the culture at Hope, a way for them not to get in trouble. Like their dad did at one time. And we won't go there, but, it's just true. Linda, I want to ask you about parents that might be, hey, I love Christian education and everything, but maybe it doesn't have the academic standards we want.
No, as a matter of fact, Christian education, you know, we are a college preparatory school, and we continue to focus on that. All that's different between that, the Christian education part, is the fact that we pull in biblical worldview. So we still have those honors classes, dual credit classes, and we do equip students for college, and they are well prepared for that when they leave and graduate from Hope.
I've spent a bunch of time on this show trying to encourage Christians in what we call science. And science is a very vague thing in the public schools. And I'm getting on a soapbox, but I'll try not to go too far down the road with it. So we all know that evolution is taught in the public schools. I can remember talking about the so-called missing link. And I can even remember talking about the origins of life. You know, Darwin was really transition of the species, not the origins of life. But there are others who theorized, oh, yeah, at some point in history there was a primordial ooze, and there was all these ingredients that combined into a one-celled living organism, and life was born, and then it evolved into all these different animals and everything else. Well, ladies and gentlemen, look, and I'm not insulting you. If you really believe that, you need to look closer, because there's not one shred of science to any of that. You know, there's a creator that created everything. And that's what I appreciate that Hope is teaching, that you're teaching the creator's responsible. And I think that you have more appreciation for nature. We have Dr. Brian Nixon on our campus. He is in charge of education, and he is in charge of publishing. He does most of the editing and things of Pastor Skip Heitzig's books. He says that God wrote two books. First one was nature, and the second one was the Bible. Of course, that's made up of 66 different books, but we won't get technical about that. So, Linda, when somebody's worried about, okay, I'm going to compare public school math and science and those kind of things to a Hope Christian, you're going to be more than competitive in those areas.
Yes. As a matter of fact, our students at the high school actually score about 4 points higher on the ACT than the New Mexico average, and 3 points higher than the national average. So when we're teaching the students, they are not just on par with what's going on in public education. They are above and beyond what is going on in public education.
Terry, just go back to your experience. You were a student at Hope just a few years ago.
Yes.
How'd you do in college? Were you ready?
Oh, yeah, I was definitely ready. You know, everybody has a different journey and a different path as far as how they get there. Mm-hmm. I ended up on the East Coast and finished my, you know, undergrad, and then came back, and actually I went to UNM and finished my graduate master's degree. So Hope has a 97-98%. Go on to college, you know, and that's a big deal in this day and age. So we're very proud of our graduates, and we prepare them very, very well, we feel, for college.
Yeah. Connie, something I've appreciated about Hope is that all five of my children went to Hope from kindergarten all the way through high school. That's an unusual thing, isn't it?
I don't know, Terry, what the average is for lifers at Hope, but just to watch those that are, it's exciting to see as they go into the next phases. I, as I said, have been in Christian education for 27 years, so both of my girls went through Christian school in Alamogordo. And so it's important to me. It's Christian education has been, you know, obviously a part, but just to know how well prepared they were for heading into the world and being able to defend their faith, you know, as well as listening to all of the other stuff going on out there in the world. But it's a very important thing to...
There's definitely a lot of contrary messages coming at us. Yeah. Are activities in full bloom? I mean, is the band and the sports teams, everything is going 100% right now despite COVID? Linda?
Yes. So we do have about 20, 21, you know, athletic teams. We are right now in the fall season, and we're happy to say our volleyball team is ranked first right now. We have an undefeated girls soccer team. So we're very thrilled about the activities that are going on. We're getting ready to have homecoming week this next week, mm-hmm. and we're thrilled about that. Homecoming at Hope is a very special event. And so we're looking forward to just the life that those types of events bring to the school and the traditions behind them.
Talk about some of those traditions, because when you say it's fun, there's a lot of competition going on between the classes, always this big drama that's built up. And I'm smiling because I have the sense that this is a little bit like World Championship Wrestling, Terry Heise.
Well, you know, homecoming week is so unique to Hope. I mean, it's all week long, almost all week long. And the cool thing is that every single senior is honored. We're small enough that we can honor every single senior. So basically everybody is presented. And then they have all the games throughout the week, the volleyball game, the football game, the competitions, the color day. And it is very unique in the city of Albuquerque. I think it's probably the best one. We feel it's the best one in the city. So, we're excited about next week.
But like you said, I think Hope needs about three more gyms.
Yeah. So,
because there's so many people want to go to those homecoming festivities, and the gym is getting kind of small.
Yeah, I would agree with you. You know, we just finished our new elementary school, which is exciting. So it's a brand new building that we're in for the first time this year. Just as fresh, hot off the press, Jim, we met with our architects yesterday for our initial planning for a new high school. So we're very excited about getting that ball rolling as well. And yes, included in that is probably some more gym space.
So. Well, and there's, you know, there's space needed for everything. I'm so amazed at the music program. Linda, you might want to comment about that. I'll tell you what's maybe the best. Well, I shouldn't say it that way because it's just different. One of the best programs I've ever seen is the art program. The art that the students produce, even students that are not advanced artists, and there are a lot of those at Hope. Even the regular students do incredible things like pointillisms and things that are fabulous that you could put up in your house and be very proud of. That's quite a program.
Yes, so we also have all of the creative arts, the performing arts as well. We welcomed a brand new art teacher to our campus this year and excited about seeing him expand the program to include ceramics but continue in the same tradition.
Going to throw a few pots on a wheel? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Nice. I tried that when I was a senior at El Dorado, and I could get to a certain point, and then it would just explode.
Well, you're too tall for that. You can't even reach the wheel, probably. It's too far down there.
I had not the fine motor skills, nor the patience. But the people that were good at that were really good at that. In fact, my sister Amy, who's about 7-8 years behind me, she was spectacular at that and still has pots and things from mm-hmm. her, you know, 40 years ago in high school. Yeah, it's kind of neat. Connie, are you involved at the middle school in homecoming? Are there some festivities for the middle school kids too?
Oh, not right now. I mean, Linda and trying to work together to see what we can do to make it exciting for our middle
schoolers. Do a lot of the middle schools like to go to the high school games and stuff, though?
They look up to the high schoolers a lot. And so it's kind of neat to watch the family atmosphere that is created We are going over for lunch, however, to support the seniors, you know, so we'll be part of the buying the lunch and helping them out with their raising money for the senior trip. So
that's a lot of fun. Terry Heisey is the head of school at Hope Christian Schools. Their middle school principal is Connie Higgs, and their high school principal is Linda Brazier. We'll be back with them up through the top of the hour in just a minute. We'll be right back.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Terry Heisey, Connie Higgs, and Linda Brazier are in studio with me this afternoon. They are all part of Hope Christian Schools. Connie is the middle school principal. Linda is the high school principal. And Terry's the head of school. Terry, you just had an event for grandparents.
You know, the great thing about Hope and the size that we are, we're a good medium size, but we can have special events. So we have our grandparents week. And so we just finished today, the last day of grandparents week. So we have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We invited grandparents to come for the elementary school. And so we had an art project. We had our Husky thing out there. They could take a picture, you know, with Husky and so forth. And after the grandparents' day yesterday, a lady came up to me, a grandparent came up to me, and she said, "I just want you to know that this has been the best decision that I have made in the past 18 months to bring our grandchildren, our grandchild to Hope Christian School. Because she came because of COVID and she was homeschooling and it was just too much. And so she was just very, very thankful, which was really blessed us and me, just because of the fact that our teachers, you know, they put out, they worked that whole year. She was just really, really gracious and grateful for Hope, and just the best decision that she's made in the last 18 months was really, that's a big deal, you know.
So right now, APS is mask mandates and those kind of things. I know you have protocols trying to keep people safe, as safe as you can. And you mentioned some hiccups, Terry. And all of you can answer this question. For the assurance, I guess, if you will, of our listeners, what happens if somebody has COVID? Is it time to totally panic? Or do you just simply take some steps to put them in a safe situation and protect the students?
You know, we're very fortunate that we have two school nurses that are really, really good. And we've developed a system and a protocol and a procedure. And unfortunately or fortunately, we've got it down to pretty much clockwork now. So if a student gets COVID, we do close contacts and we send our letters out and we quarantine those that need to be quarantined and we continue on with school with the rest of them. And it worked last year and it's working this year. And we feel that we can go forward in confidence and minimize the effect that it's going to have on the overall student body.
Are teachers able to stay in touch with these students? They continue doing their work at home during this time, Connie?
Yeah, but with the Promethean board and the cameras that Linda mentioned earlier, they can either do virtual, which means that a student at home can be piped in, you know, and watch the class. They can either video themselves teaching a class and putting that on Google Classroom or on YouTube for the kids to watch. They can set up regular hours for the kids to email back and forth to get questions answered. So it's a really good, they've got their system down.
And they have the hope of returning in, what, 10 or 14 days or whatever it requires.
Yeah, depending on what their time frame is.
And kids have, Linda, been out for a few days. They've dealt with the issues, and they've been back in school.
Yes, they have. And, you know, it's wonderful. You know, a lot of times you hear kids say, "Oh, man, I don't want to be at school." But through COVID, I think one of the things that our kids have learned from is how much they enjoy being there at school. They enjoy interacting with their teachers in person. They enjoy seeing each other as well. And so there's a greater anticipation of them desiring to be there on campus and having that time of fellowship with one another.
Do you have a diverse group of kids from different churches, different Christian churches, maybe Catholics, evangelicals, the Methodist, Baptist, and all the other denominations involved?
Yes. So we have, because Hope is a not affiliated with a specific church, it is non-denominational. So we welcome students from all faith backgrounds. And our focus, again, is on that biblical integration. So what we're doing is we're teaching the Bible, and we're doing so unapologetically.
Mm. Terry, do you invite parents to participate in the educational process?
Yeah, absolutely. We love volunteers. You know, this is a little bit different time right now, but normally we invite our parents to help as much as they want to help. And we do require that if they're regular participants in helping, that we do require that they get a background check and come and help our families. We love and enjoy our families because it's a partnership. You know, if we don't have the partnership of our parents, then it's really, really difficult. But we have great partnership with our parents.
And I think there's research that shows nationally when parents are involved, GPAs are a lot higher. And that's one of the challenges, frankly, that public schools have. And there's not, I don't know what the solution is. Jesus would be a start, right, to introduce people. Tell me how kids, and Connie, you may answer this, do you allow kids to question whether Christianity is true and have that conversation and go through that kind of thing with them?
As Linda mentioned earlier, we do teach the Bible. If we have kiddos that their beliefs or their church is a different, a different scenario, we do have what we call disputable matters, mm-hmm. and we refer them to their parents and to their church to get that specific question answered.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm even asking about, I think all of us at some point have doubts about various things. And there's a conversation that's constantly going on between the students. Parents, again, you're not ever as an educator going to undercut what you think the parents are teaching, right? But you are going to tell them other things that people think. And I think I as a parent appreciated that because the questions, and I don't believe there is an opportunity to ask people about Jesus when you go to a public school. That's just not an option. They're disallowed. I know a lot of people that would like to, but it's something that, is kind of disallowed. Linda, you've worked at Hope prior to being involved as the high school principal. What's different working with the older kids than maybe the younger kids?
They're definitely taller than I am. So that is one of the differences. Their hearts are still, even as teenagers, their hearts are still moldable. And they're still seeking answers to life's questions, like, who am I and what is my purpose? And so having the ability to work with the staff and students to find those answers, but to find those answers in Christ and in biblically has been wonderful. So I think the depth of the questions that are asked by the high school students are much more difficult. The answers are much harder to find than with the elementary students, but the answers are still there. They're still in Scripture. They're still spoken clearly by the Word of God. I will say, however, I do miss the hugs of the little ones.
Of the little ones. Yeah, that's extra special. Terry, I don't know if I'll phrase this correctly, but there's a generational thing going on now at Hope. My daughter just had twins. So in another 10, 15 years, they'll be up there. You got any grandparents that graduated from Hope right now?
You know, it's funny because I went to every day at Grandparents' Day, and the first couple days I realized that I had taught the grandparents' kids way back when. So they're definitely, Connie was referring to the lifers, we call the people that the students that have gone there their whole career. We probably have 20 to 30% that probably start in kindergarten and or preschool and go all the way through. And it seems to be increasing more and more, as we go forward. So, one thing I just wanted to say is that statistics say that 80% of people that come to know the Lord come to know the Lord by the age of 14. And we just feel that it's just so important to expose these kids and plant seeds in their heart before they grow up and get old like us. You know what I mean? I mean, God can change the hearts of anybody at any age, but we know that just planting that seed early will blossom and bloom sometimes many years later after kids grow up and mature and go through sometimes their rebellious period. You don't know what that's like, though, Jim, probably.
I've seen I never rebelled. I was always a perfect child. Okay. I think you got on me for being a rebellious parent, too, but we won't talk about that either. Terry, I'm thinking right now just about people that I know that have come from Hope and are working in Albuquerque in ministry. Drew Bentley's one.
Yeah.
You know, Drew was a basketball player at Hope. He's a worship leader at Calvary Church. And I'm sure you have others throughout the community that are doing various things.
Yeah, Tamara Aragon is here at Calvary. And
she's still here, but she's volunteering now.
Yeah, Wileys.
You know, she took a break because she wants to write music. She wants to concentrate on what God's giving her and write. And she's part of our Battle Drums team still. So, I mean, she's still doing amazing things.
It would be fun sometime to do a show on reminiscing about the alumni and where they're at and what they're doing, you know, because like Austin Drake, I think, and, you know, that family. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's a lot of people that have gone through Hope and are just doing amazing things throughout the world.
You know, you have a couple board members.
Right.
That were students. Lance Milford was one of that I'm thinking of. He serves on your board now. He was an athlete and a student at Hope.
Yep. Greg Cruz is on the board as well, and he's a graduate even before me. So.
Now, Greg will probably not appreciate this, but I heard he didn't go to class very much. I'm just teasing.
I am not going to go there. I'll ask him the next time.
I'm just teasing. Just Greg is a friend of mine. I haven't had a chance to talk to him. I will say that I miss the community a little bit. Connie, do you miss some of the students that have graduated?
I do, and it's always fun to go back and look in the yearbooks and to see them, and it's like, oh, my goodness, how did they get to be seniors already? Or a mama of twins, or, you know, it's – but to have them come back on campus and to say hello – you know, and just I want to touch base, see how you're doing. It's always nice to have that come back. And I think that's my biggest thing is family, that we're a family. And we couldn't do it without being a family at Hope. I tell parents all the time, your kids are mine for the 8 hours I have them. And then I'll send them home. I don't have to feed them dinner. But I do like that family part of that, and the fact that social media today is throwing so many things at the kiddos. So we have to partner together as, you know, parents and us more so now than I think ever before, just to make sure that we help them.
Linda, why are you doing this?
God called me to do it. I actually started my career in the public school sector. And so I've had the ability to teach in public schools. I've taught in charter school. And then God said, nope, you know, it's time for you to follow my lead and work in a Christian environment. And since I've been at Hope, I've been challenged in new and different ways. And I don't think I could at this point go back to the public sector and educate that way again.
Are there opportunities for people that might want to come and look at the school and visit with their student and that kind of thing quickly?
Yes, please contact us if you'd like to see the school, and we will definitely put you in touch with someone.
All right. HopeChristianSchool.org is the website, and you can reach out to Terry Heisey, Connie Higgs, and Linda Brazier. Thank you for joining us today on ABQ Connect.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling, 505-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT.
The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.